Happy Earth Month, everybody. Now, I know every year we write down our different goals that we want to accomplish for yourself, people around you, manifest it. And maybe one of our goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. You value companies that are thoughtful in every aspect of how they run their business. Good news, Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Fresh air, frisbees, picnics, super cute dogs on leashes. I mean, that's my dream. Soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. Check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Again, donate in store or online and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse. Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Oh, hey, guys. Welcome to the Lady Gang podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm joined today by my friend and blogger extraordinaire, Becca Tobin, who also happens to be a fantastic actress. You might remember her from Glee. Jack Vanek, I always say my friend Jack Vanek, the cultural it girl. She has a clothing line, Jack Vanek, that pretty much everyone cool, including Cara Delevingne, wears. And I am two-time Emmy-losing television host, Kelty Knight. And we are very excited you guys are here. And I'm doing that intro. I'm telling you why I'm doing the intro. Because so many times people are like, I didn't really know you were doing that, or I didn't know what Jack did.
Yeah, nobody knows
who we are,
really.
I want everyone to know what we do.
Will you start introducing me as unemployed actress?
Sure.
That girl who used to be on that show, something called Glee.
Yes.
Wait, I got to think of a really bad one for me, too.
Okay. I mean, okay.
Potato face, Jack Vanek.
You know, and because we are obviously love ourselves so much, please head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Now, you might not think that's important because you're like, oh, why do I have to take time out of the day to leave your review? But it is super important because that's how iTunes decides what's hot and what's not and what ends up on the hot page. And I think more people need to see Jack Vanek in her underwear on our logo.
Oh, yeah.
So please leave us a 5-star review. You can always listen to the podcast at podcastone.com or on the Podcast One app. You can also follow us at The Lady Gang on Instagram and Twitter, and go to theladygang.com, sign up for our newsletter, and you'll get a nice little piece of ass in your inbox every Tuesday.
All right. With all that, it is time for
Good Week.
Yes, it is.
Bad Week.
Oh, no.
All right, Jack. Go.
Okay,
we have
well,
so much to talk about.
Well, we have so much to talk about because we're the most epic time ever.
It's our Coachella recap episode, I think.
Yes, it is.
First of all, I want to start. Did you guys see any good celeb sightings there?
Bella Hadid.
What was yours?
And The Weeknd.
I saw Kylie and Tyga, Lenny Kravitz, which really made my panties. Woo! Lenny Kravitz is a fine looking man.
Hot.
Have you seen the gif of his wiener falling out of his
yes.
pants? It's good.
Yeah, it is good. He was wearing head-to-toe denim. I saw Jaden Smith and his girlfriend. I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger. And the weirdest celebrity I saw was Kevin Nealon. Do you know him? Like the actor?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's obscure. Kevin Nealon or whatever. I don't even remember what he's really from.
I don't know what he's from either.
Oh, I saw Guy Fieri.
Damn it,
and
that was
he
mine.
Was like kissing babies and shaking hands. Like he was the most excited guy to be there, and everyone knew him.
I was so jealous. He was in front of me, like 20 people in the golf cart line that you're like going from stage to stage. And Scott goes to me, he's like, what did he say? Do you know what's Madonna's husband's name?
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, he's like, do you know who Guy Ritchie is? I was like, Madonna. I'm like, dude, that's Guy Fieri, and this is the best celeb sighting I've ever had in my life. So I Snapchatted it. And then I also saw Taylor Swift, but that didn't matter. Yeah.
Because Guy Fieri's better.
Did she give you dirty
looks? They have the same hair. No, but she was like dancing right next to me with like...
Oh, dancing? Really? Weird.
Yeah, weird.
Publicly dancing like she's having the time of her life?
No way.
Weird.
Shocker. Okay, so anyways, my good week. I mean, if you guys follow any of us on Instagram, you'll know that my good week is the double jack.
It's the greatest photo of all time.
It's my most liked photo on Instagram of all time.
Can you describe it for those of you who have not seen it yet?
Becca's shaking her head.
Because I got jacked in my own way. I'll tell you later.
It's me on one side doing the jack, Kelty on the other side doing the jack, and Becca in the middle doing a suck it.
Yeah.
Which I really like. You're
it's
bringing
amazing.
Back
the I am suck bringing
it.
Back
it's
suck
such
it.
A great photo.
I love it.
Congrats, Jack. The jack is
real. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was your bad week?
So my bad week was... Okay, so, I mean, at Coachella, if you're me and Scott, you're drinking all the entire weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're starting at like 8 a.m. every day with mimosas by the pool.
I'm just not that person.
I love day drinking. God, day drinking is my thing.
I wish I could be like you.
I hate night drinking. I like to be done by like 7:30 and in bed and tucked away, which is why I missed all of the headliners at Coachella. So... Drinking for 72 hours straight, plus everybody knows I just started birth control, and I'm PMSing, so I was a little bit on edge at Coachella, to say the least. And I got so annoyed at Scott for a good 3 hours.
First fight.
No, it wasn't a fight. I was just annoyed because he didn't get a good picture of my outfit.
Oh my God.
I was like drunk and really emotional from... my birth control, but like I was pissed.
You have so far to go in this relationship.
I can't believe I didn't break up with you on the spot in that moment.
I was so pissed. God. But then the next morning I woke up and I felt so bad and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like that was so uncalled for me being mad at you because of that. He's like, I like when you're a brat. It's fine.
Oh God.
Oh God. Okay. Well, I'm going to go next because my bad week has to do with the Jack photo. So I thought it would be really funny to have this photo for our Instagram because everyone knows how much I hate PDA. So, and also I'm bringing back Suck It. I think instead of flicking people off now, you just do Suck It and it's like so shocking.
It is quite shocking.
And it's just so good. It's so vulgar. So I did this, you know, thinking that, you know, we would have this for our Instagram. It would be so fun.
Yeah.
Funny,
ha ha ha.
Okay, well, I'm in Seattle last week for work, and I get a text from Kelty on our group text, and it is a screenshot of a very popular website. I'm pulling up the photo now. It's
it was who what where?
It's fashioninstyle.com. Oh. So like the
fashioninstyle.com
or fashioninstyle.com, and there are three photos, and it's Vanessa Hudgens, me, and some other girl I don't know. Who is that? I don't know. Anyways, we all happen to wear the same brand to Coachella. Camilla, they do these great, like, caftani, whatever things. Besides the point, there's hundreds of pictures of me in this really adorable outfit. What photo do they use for the header of this article? Me doing Suck It.
Suck It.
It's like Vanessa Hudgens giving a peace sign and me giving Suck It and then this other girl giving like a cute over the shoulder, like her cute little butt. So
okay, so this is what needs to happen.
Someone hates me at Fashion and Style.
Wow. Becca, it was dark.
Dark times.
What's your good week?
My good week was just going to Coachella in general and also going with the right group of people because my worst nightmare is being at the festival from sun up to sundown, unlike Jack. And I was really worried that the people I was going with were going to want to be raging all day and all night, and I was going to have to get my hands on some sort of an upper. Mm-hmm. Not that I do that, but like
a little key bump.
I was stressed about that. So when everyone was like ready for bed at 8 o'clock,
That's your good week.
That was a great week because I had a lot of anxiety going into it. Like I was going to have to party hard.
Yeah.
See, I go to bed at 8 too. I just
well,
am drinking
you also wake up at 8 and start like pounding drinks.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do that either. That's why I look so good today.
You do look great. It was really fun to have the lady gang at Coachella.
It was.
You know, we looked cute, I thought.
We took a good pick.
Suck at. Okay, so for me, much along the lines of Jack, y'all, I normally get like about 500 likes on my Instagram. The Jack photo currently on at Kelty Knight, please follow me, I'm desperate, has 2,783 likes and 263 comments.
I know.
I am so legit, but here's the good week. The good week is it trickled down to my other Instagram photos. Like, I posted a picture of me in a bikini on a gold swan in a pool, 912 likes. I posted a picture of me and my husband.
All right, we're done. You're done. You're done. You're done. Yeah, you're it. Entirely too old to care about this.
Hold on. Also, I just want to mention, because people have been calling me out. My outfit from that day, my Camilla outfit, 1,242 likes, and then people are literally in the comments being like, "Whoa, look at you! Over 1,000 likes!" Like, I love
because I know that this is your biggest big deal goal for me. In life is to get 1,000 likes on Instagram.
And I was like, maybe I should wear a bikini top more often.
No, just have to do the jack more often.
No, it's the bikini.
It's the jack.
It's the bikini.
Anyway, I felt really happy, and I also, I stayed until 2 a.m. watching Guns N' Roses, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. The only disappointing thing is I didn't have a funnel cake, but other than that, Coachella. Here's my bad week. I'm going to take it back to Hollywood because we've been in the desert for a minute. As we've talked about many times, women are scrutinized a lot when they're in the public eye. And I have been very open about, I work in the entertainment business and people kind of get to tear me apart. And when you see my face on your TV every night, I'll get tweets like, "What's up with that dress? That dress is cute. That dress is ugly. You know, your hair looks stupid. How are you to judge anyone when you have that janky ass haircut? That was real." Anyway, so... But one of the things is, like, behind the scenes, there's also a lot of commentary, right? And here's the thing. I love a note. I was a Rockette. When you were a Rockette, you got, like, 100 notes a day, like, do this, do this, do this. So I'm never, like, really fazed by someone being like, this is what's wrong with you today. Like, fix it. I'm just like, okay, cool. You're doing your job, which is, like, to create a show and make it perfect. So I got a note. I'm standing ready to, like, do my read about the news. And in my ear, my director's like, yeah, your eyebrow. And I was like, excuse me? And he's like, there's like this space between your eyebrow of like, we can see it, like where your eyebrow is like up and then, you know, like how you have the eyebrow parts that stick up and then the eyebrow parts that go sideways? There was like a little corner of the eyebrow that was like a little spike. It was like a triangle downward.
You need breast implants.
That was like,
that's what this says.
You think so? Like if people are
looking at your eyebrows.
I got a note about insane. My left eyebrow and they had to come and like fill it in and make that eyebrow more symmetrical. Like, I don't know what to tell you except hashtag it's just my face.
God, I would not be able to be on the news. My eyebrows are messed up.
They're getting much better, though, I've been noticing. Yeah. Okay.
I just felt
her. Anyway,
let's stop making the country dumber.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
Woo-wee! We got a good one for you. Our guest today is the creator of the Great Love Debate podcast on Podcast One. He's also America's number one dating enthusiast. I don't know what that means. He's also a public speaker that legit travels around the world and helps people figure out their shit and why they're not happy in their relationships. And we invited him here today because we have a lot of listeners, if you haven't noticed, with love questions. And we have been giving terrible advice for now 20 episodes. And so we thought we needed an expert to answer. Please welcome Brian Howie.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Now, we never really – there's only ever been two other boys on the podcast.
So. I know. I was so proud. This is like cracking the early days of The View.
Yeah. Wow.
I was so – like, I need to get on that. I need to get on
totes.
That. And then Becca did our podcast, and she had the greatest dating story of all time.
Yeah. I'll tell that one day on this one.
Okay.
So track it down.
I want to know how you get to be America's number one dating enthusiast. Like, is this you go on a lot of dates?
No.
Are you just excited?
Time Magazine gave me that title. Ooh. And enthusiast meant that I was just curious about the subject matter. I've always been, for 15 years or so, really studying and producing content and writing about the disconnect between men and women. So I never claim to be an expert, but I do know where all the bodies are buried because I've been traveling around for 2 years. I've been to 78 cities across North America.
Dang.
Figuring this out.
So you wrote a book called How to Find Love in 60 Seconds. So this is going to be a short podcast, everyone. We're going to get him to answer this question. Quick. Tell us in 60 seconds and then we're out.
You don't need any other advice.
How do people do it? How do you find love in 60 seconds?
Well, it's not about a quickie in a bathroom. It's about dealing with a lot of... neurotic actractresses in this town over 10 years or so.
You just made direct eye contact.
I looked right at Becca. I thought that women were not taking control of their own dating fates. And that wasn't so much about they need to ask guys out or whatever. It's about every single day there's 5 or 6 points where there are opportunities where you can act on them or recognize them and most importantly not kill them. And those are like little 60-second windows. And that every single day these people are within... 1,000 yards or 10 yards of you. 1,000 people a day.
Like, give us an example, like going through your day. What were the
For example, every single day, people are like, oh, all the opportunities to date are online. But we're really online dating because of fear. People are afraid to engage
100%
face-to-face. You know, the biggest change in the dating landscape over the last 20 years is not technology. It's that the gender roles have blurred. The women have ramped up their independent, I don't need a man, masculine energy. And if anything, the men have gotten more sensitive. So the Band-Aid filling that in is social media and apps and all that. So in the course of any given day, though, all of us in a normal city like Los Angeles, and for a minute we'll pretend Los Angeles is a normal city, going to work, going to the gym, going whatever, you are within 10 yards of 1,000 people of the opposite sex. So even if you said 5 or 6 out of 1,000 is somebody that if I connected with, I could fall in love with, that's still, you know, 0.5, 0.6%. That's kind of a needle in a haystack. But if you looked at it like that, that every single day I'm within 30 feet of 5 or 6 people, suddenly you would get your head out of your apps, as we always say, and recognize them and look for them. And those opportunities really are everywhere. And I think people are more likely now to see somebody and run home and try and find them online versus say hello to them face to face. I always say the best dating site is Earth, you know, and we've lost the ability to engage face to face. And mostly that's because the women are afraid of being hurt and the men are afraid of being rejected.
I will say this. I think men, y'all are pussies.
Yep.
Like, it's our fault. It's our fault, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like, ask a woman out. Go up to her, call her on the telephone, and say, I'd like to take you out Tuesday
at
7.
Or go up to somebody in a
bar. You're not wrong, and you're right. You know, the men are more are likely to be obsolete in two generations than to suddenly grow bigger balls. And that's because the environment has changed. And to the women's credit, in every other aspect of life, it has been a good thing, except for dating. And same with men. Every other aspect of life, being more sensitive and vulnerable and introspective, is good, except for dating.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. So I do tell the women that it is on them to sort of put their cab light on and make yourself a little more approachable. You know, get rid of that resting bitch face, or at least
he's pointing at me.
I know. Again, he made eye contact with me.
Be cognizant of it. Be aware of it and understand that, I mean, you're right. The guy should not care. The guy should go up. The guy should fight through it. But a lot of them do not.
Well, I'm sure now everybody or men are so intimidated by women because of that.
If she's going to reject you, she's going to reject you anyway. Yeah. Like, it really shouldn't matter.
I have a question. Have you guys ever been dated or asked out, like, in person by someone that, like, you probably would never date, but you still kind of in that second were like, wow, way to go, bro. Like, you're going to say no, but it's, like, kind of hot to just be asked out.
Well, and you would give somebody a chance more so if they actually, like, took the initiative and said something to you in person than, like, if you're on a dating app swiping on Tinder to say yes and engage in that conversation.
You know, well, we do a lot of these live Great Love Debate shows all over the country. And when we do them in New York City, a disproportionate amount of European women are there, and they are like, you American men are so wimpy. In Europe, they will come up and say, I love you, you're beautiful, and ravage us. And the women here, you say you don't like it, and the men won't do it. And so they really judge our American dating culture as scared.
Wow. It's true. I think it is based on fear. I've never thought of that
Well,
before.
There's too many women pressing rape charges, I think.
Well, I mean, it's basically this.
Becca Tobin, back for the win.
What we've learned after doing this for 2 years in 78 different cities is the women want the men to try harder and the men want the women to make it easier. And that's where we're at. The difference in approach, though, is that the women are looking for red flags and the men are looking for green lights. So they're searching for an opening and the women are searching for, like, why shouldn't I let this guy approach me? And even, you know, the meaning of a date has changed. You said you wanted to be called up and asked out. That meant before you got married, it meant I called you up, I asked you out, I picked you up, I took you out.
100%.
There's no part of that anymore. You do not want to be picked up. You will meet out two Ubers.
Well, especially if it's on Tinder, it's like you don't want somebody knowing where you live.
But 20 years ago, people were just as psycho and, you know, they got a better shot of finding your body now, at least.
Yeah.
You know?
Just because you met somebody in real life doesn't mean they're not a complete psychopath.
I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter, but that has changed. It's a hangout culture. We'll
meet
hangout
out,
culture, and that has really screwed
me. I legit, like, I don't even know if I thought my husband was going to be my husband, but the way he asked me out was so baller that, like, it was just, you know, God, if there is guys listening, like, call that girl up. Like, I wasn't even that interested in him. And he was like, I'm picking you up at 7, and had a date plan and a reservation. And then, like, a second we had dinner, and then he had a different place reservation for drinks after. Like, if it went well, like, you know, picked me up in the car. The car was cleaned. Like, it was, like, so, like, you're a man.
Yeah, and that's
like, be
rare.
A fun man.
At 25, though, because you're a little older than 25.
What are you talking about, Brian? I don't know what you're talking about. What are you trying to say?
They don't want any part of a phone call.
Right.
That generation.
No.
and you're looking for, you know, if a guy just came up to you randomly at Whole Foods, a lot of the women are guard up, walls up, skeptical, whatever. Totally. And it takes a real confident man to fight through that.
This happened to Kelty, and she was being filmed for a YouTube video.
Yeah. Some two cute boys hit on me in Zara, and I was like, oh my God, I still got it. And then I noticed that it was like a spoof video on YouTube. They're asking out everyone in Zara.
That doesn't mean you don't got it.
I mean, whatever.
Zara's where the hot
You're pretty enough for YouTube, at least.
Yeah. Got a face for podcast.
You got a face for YouTube,
Brian,
Zara.
What is the number one question you get asked about dating?
Number one question I get dating is from the women, and is where are all the good men?
Yeah. Where are the good men?
Well, a little bit is an illusion. We just did a show the other night, a live show in Becca's hometown of Atlanta.
Whoop, whoop.
And the women in Atlanta heard this stat came out that there are 80,000 more single women than single men. And the stat is right, but in a city the size of Atlanta, 6 million people, that is imperceptible. That is 0.1%. You wouldn't notice. But they are clinging to that because the illusion is after the age of 35 or 33, the women will still go out together, if only to complain that there's no men. The men stop going out in these packs, so it looks like there's no men. So, you know, the women have to sort of be smart about it. You got to find them during the daytime. You got to find them at charity events. You got to find them on the golf course. You got to find them in places where they're not hanging out at 10 o'clock at night, six guys who are 38 anymore. It's just done.
Babes, I have a question.
What?
How many girls in your friend group do you know that are radical and single and can't find a guy?
All of my friends, mostly.
None of them.
Okay. Thanks, Becca.
My friends that are single, there's something usually wrong with them.
I have in my core group of friends, out of the four of us, I'm the only one in a relationship, and my friends are amazing.
I think I just like at my work and my friends, like I probably know 15 great gals. And, like, there was, like, hook me up with your guy friends. And I, like, probably know one good guy.
Well, we should get together because...
Well, I mean, but you say you know one good guy. Is that just because you don't know a lot of guys? There's a lot of good guys. They come to the Great Love Debate all the time. There are. They're a little bit tougher to recognize, though, because there's no way for you to know they're a good guy because you're not, you know, you're basically looking at a cute guy. And he might not be a good guy because I always say,
right.
If he can get you, he can get you, he can get you. Mm-hmm. Especially in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a... Everybody thinks their city is the toughest city to date. Toughest city is Philadelphia. But Los Angeles, the reason of Los Angeles is so tough to date is because everything about your day-to-day life here is so comfortable, kind of. The weather's nice. You go
chill.
Back to day. That the only thing that could really screw that up is dating. Why would I want to sit across from somebody I don't know? Mm-hmm. And so people are running from that potential ick before they even get a chance to fight through it.
I have a very important question. Yeah. Will you give Jack the height statistic, please? This blew my mind.
What?
Well, yeah. The short guys have a tough time. It's true. But because every woman says, I want a guy, you know, 6 feet tall or whatever. Do you know the percentage of men that are over 6 feet tall? And I'm 6 feet tall. But do you know the men who are 6 feet and over?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
In the country or the world?
In the country.
In the country, I would say 25.
14.
Really?
And over 6'2", it's 7.
And what about 6'7"?
Like, maybe in Minneapolis it's higher because they're all like Paul Bunyan there. We went there. And in Los Angeles it's even shorter because there's a lot of
actors
Latino
and
men and actors and Asian men. And that brings this is one of the shortest cities in America.
Yeah, every actor is like 5'5".
So, you know, we had a woman who came to one of our shows here in Los Angeles and she raised her hand and she says, my husband was 5'5". And people gasp, like, how could that ever happen? And she said, by the time he stood up, I was already in love with him. And that was basically about just forgetting everything and focusing on the moment. And a lot of the women have just convinced themselves that they want this picture of a man that they dreamt about. Prince Charming, he looks like this, he acts like this or whatever. And maybe they're overlooking some good opportunities every day.
100%.
So Jack is in the cocaine phase, as I call it. She's a new love.
Yeah.
And it's serious. And this is the guy. She thinks she's the guy. I think it's the guy.
It's the guy.
Mm-hmm. It's the guy. But I want to know, how can we be really sure that we are in love. And it's not the chemicals in the brain. It's not security, because I know there's a lot of people that are in long-term relationships that's just safe. Yeah. How do we know when we're really in love?
Well, I think anybody can be in love on a Saturday night. It's a Tuesday night is when you're really in love. It's when you know, anybody can make it work every other weekend or whatever, because it's always fun. And it's always, you know, there's something to do. It's when there's nothing to do, or you both got to work, or you're both very stressed, and you still can sort of be there in that moment, or you want that person there.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, again, when the book's called How to Find Love in 60 Seconds, I would say that before you can find it, you have to sort of define it for yourself and what that meaning is. My personal definition of love is that there's nothing I'm doing that I wouldn't rather be doing with her. And that doesn't mean I have to do everything with her. It means I'd rather, or
everything
at least share it with her. Everything's better. It's the person I want to talk about or whatever. And when you have that, and that definition might not be fireworks and romance enough for everybody, but it works for me. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to define, like, what does my life look with this person and not with this person? That being said, you know, I always make the joke when, because I've never been married, that the resume I handed in was for boyfriend. And that is a different job than husband. That is a much different skill set, and it's not an automatic promotion. A lot of people think, like, oh, you've been going out long enough, you can automatically do that. Marriage is a lot of times about children and mortgages and things that are not really boyfriend-girlfriend things. So I think it's almost a separate conversation.
And are you single now?
Yeah.
Do you get in on a lot?
Yeah.
And why are you still single then?
Well, it's not about getting it's not about being hit on. It's not like again, there's opportunities everywhere. I get hit on mostly because I'm still single, so the women act like that's a challenge. And I think just the very act of I recognize my flaws, and you know, I wasn't always sort of introspective like this. It takes a while to – the most confident guy in the room is usually either the most vulnerable or he recognizes his – weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I'm shocked at what appeal that has, especially when I do a live show in front of a few hundred women, how kind of saying what a jackass I am. How many women sort of like that and own that and
well, it's
and
honest
whatever.
And it's endearing and it is vulnerable.
Yeah, but years ago I would have been scared. I would have been like, at all times, keep your guard up, try and be cool and all that kind of stuff. And I tell these guys all the time, as long as you can just lay it all out there, and they feel so much safer. You know, the woman wants to feel special, and she wants to feel sexy, and she wants to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And safe is the hard one. It's about trust and sharing and honesty and vulnerability. And about halfway through last year, you know, it just took sort of the right woman to call me out on that and been like, okay, give me the real answer, because you're so used to just trying to entertain you and make mm-hmm. you laugh, because mm-hmm. laughter is sort of feedback, and we don't get enough of that.
What's the worst city to date? Who are the worst daters in the country?
Philadelphia.
Why? Why Philly?
The only love there is the brotherly love. We did a show in Philadelphia, and the women were like, the guys here suck. And the guys were like, so? And they took like a pride in it. They took a pride in this sort of douchebaggy, bro pack thing.
God.
San Francisco is very difficult. The men there think the women are too good for them, and the women say they are. You know,
ooh,
it's literally
really?
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, girls.
I would think it would be kind of opposite there.
Atlanta's no picnic, because the especially in the South in America still, if you get to 30 and you get divorced, the marriage failed. If you don't get married, you failed. That's still – so there's a lot of 23-year-olds saying, you know, I was a bridesmaid 5 times. It's never going to work for me.
Oh, my God.
And flipping out, and that really leads to a disconnect. The middle of the country is always better. It's a lot more hopeful place. New York is – I'm from New York. I live in L.A. New York's a nightmare right now. Because the women all watched Sex in the City for 10 years, and you wanted her to end up with Big. And so the guys are like, why would I be Aiden? Why, you know?
Aiden was the good guy. No, you want the
Aiden. And nobody wanted him with it. So everybody's like, Aiden got, nobody wanted that. So there's a lot of mini Mr. Bigs running around New York. God. So
on the Great Love Debate, your co-host Laurel, mm-hmm. she has a whole bunch of past marriages. She got a baby daddy. She got a new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I mean, she seems like the obvious choice for you. Why didn't you guys hook up? You're close.
You can be close to somebody, and that doesn't mean you have to date them. I mean, you just laid out a whole bunch of issues there.
Baggage.
I don't know about baggage. Laurel, I'll give her credit. She owns her baggage. I'll give her that. But Laurel needs to to be alone for a while.
Okay.
Laurel's had 9 engagements and 2 marriages.
9 engagements?
9 for reals?
For real.
Wow.
Does she keep
or she's
all
been
the
proposed
rings?
To 9 times. I don't know if she's had all the engagements.
Girl.
But she, some girls need to, well, she calls it lily padding, go from guy to guy to guy to guy. And you need to take up a place to breathe and own it and let it sort of do that. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it takes the right person to connect in the right, you know, people say to me all the time, you just haven't met the right girl yet. I'm like, I've met the right girl like 1,000 times. I was always the wrong guy. And you need to own that.
How many times can you be engaged, divorced before it's like, ooh.
Before it's a problem?
Yeah. I mean, I've been married twice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is your second time?
Yep.
I
mm-hmm.
think that's good. I mean, that's fine. I mean, again, if it's every 10 years, I think that's fine. If yeah. somebody's been married 5 times by the age of 30, right. I think there's an issue.
Yeah.
I've always, you know, been in these long-term relationships, like 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. That's not better. It just meant I was going to put enough chips in to stay in the game, not all my chips in.
Right.
And that's different, too. But how old were you the first time you got married?
20.
Yeah, she was super young.
Whoops.
Our brains are not even fully formed till we're 25.
I agree.
And that's
with
a fact.
That. That's a fact.
So you can cross that off. That
but
doesn't count. It's annulled. I just annulled it.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting thing, too, because Becca and I have talked about this before. When you're from the country, you know, there's a whole different list of rules. Like, everyone I know got married at 20, 21, 22 and had their 3 children by the time they were 25.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt very normal, you know, and I think we have a lot of listeners that write us from the South that they're like, I'm alone and I'm 26 and I'm like, be alone for a minute.
Well,
but that's because we live in New York, LA.
It's still that pressure. I know it's still that pressure and a lot of it's abnormal. We just did 3 weeks of shows in Chicago. Most of the shows that we do are live shows. Half the crowd is divorced. Almost nobody was divorced in Chicago. They were all still single, and they really felt mm-hmm. strange about it. Where are you from in real life?
Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, we've been to Canada a few times.
You have?
Yeah.
What are Canadians?
Montreal was great because our live show was like half in French and half in English.
Yeah, that's hot.
And the women were awesome. And
yeah.
Toronto had really good guy. We had an escort, a call girl, show up in the crowd. She bought a ticket because she's like, I heard this is where the single guys here are. I need clients.
Oh, my God. Yes, girlfriend.
That's a girl boss right there.
That's networking. She thought it was a networking opportunity.
So
damn
smart.
Dude, that's amazing.
She was not afraid. But Miami's tough. Austin, the problem is it's so fun.
I love
Why
Austin.
Would you get off the ride? Like,
yeah.
So it's tough to get people to settle down. If I was a single girl, though, and I wanted to go somewhere where, with the intent of I'm going to find a good man to get married, I'm going to Washington, D.C.
I was
going to
say, what's the best city to date?
That's different. To date, the best city is probably Chicago.
But the best city to find somebody? You'd say Washington?
Washington, D.C. or Charlotte. Those are the two best.
Charlotte, yeah.
Washington, D.C., it's almost looked at, maybe this isn't the most romantic thing, however, it's a good career move for the men, early 30s, mid-30s. Like, you better have that checked off or they perceive you like, there's something weird. Why are you still partying?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So it's almost like everybody has their fun in D.C. in their 20s. And then it's like, okay.
And then if you want a real career, you better have a wife.
You better have a wife. And it's good for the law firm. It's good on Capitol Hill. It's good for everything. So there's a lot of good guys looking to settle down versus, you know, New York and L.A. We can fly through here a long time without
settling down.
And Charlotte is great. It's vibrant. There's people moving there every day. The economy is good. How people feel about the city they live in trickles down to the dating. Because if you know you're in the right place, you're going to commit to something. If you're in a city that you think is going the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
like St. Louis now is going the wrong way, people are like, I might get out of here, and they're less likely to jump into something.
What's the one question or the one like sort of topic that you hear at your podcasts and your speakings over and over again where you just want to slap people? You just want to say, idiot. Idiot, idiot.
That Tinder's a hookup site. I mean, Starbucks is a hookup site if you want it to be. I mean, everything you know that you're doing is about your intent and your purpose, and you got to sort of define it. And you know, whatever you're looking for and whatever you want to get back out of it, you sort of just have to have a clear goal of that. And we all have so many walls up, and people are dating now out of fear that I'm not sure any of us were, you know, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even I talk about the hangout culture. You know, we sort of meet up, hang out. Even at the end of the date, if it goes well in Los Angeles, what are you going to do? Like make out in front of the valet? Like it's kind of lost even that when it goes well. You
mm-hmm.
can't take her home, drop her off because you didn't come together. So the whole atmosphere has changed. But you know, there are really good guys and there are really good girls in every city. You just have to sort of recognize those opportunities and act on them and get rid of the words "not my type." If you're over 30 and you're still single, you have no type. Your type's not working
Bingo.
Out.
Bingo. That's what I want to say to all my single girlfriends.
Yeah, get rid of that. You know, your type is not working. It probably...
Well, beggars can't be choosers, dude.
It lies outside your comfort zone.
This is very interesting because I have a friend, a guy friend here in LA. He's an executive. He's incredible. He is so super successful, awesome, athletic, like just a cool, great guy. And I have tried to hook this guy up with five or six of my girlfriends that are like... I just want love. I just want love.
Is this the guy you tried to hook me up with?
No.
Oh.
But anyway, I've tried to hook him up with different friends, and I'm always like, hey, like, do you want to meet my friend? And I explain, they're like, oh, yeah, he sounds great. And then they go look him up on his Facebook page. I think he's a good-looking guy. He's not Chris Evans, you know? He's like a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. Fine. And they're like, ooh, I don't know. He's a shaved head. And they're like, I can't do a shaved head. And I was like, this guy will be an incredible husband.
Shaved head's bad?
I guess.
See, I have good hair, and it has no value, really, because the shaved head guys are getting all the girls.
Dude, and it's like half of the guys are going to go bald anyway. What do you think you're going to date somebody for 2 years, and then they're going to go bald, and you're going to break up with them?
I guess, but maybe why not just... Anyway.
Whatever.
People, I think, yeah, I think that's the best
advice.
You got to
be outside of your comfort zone. Even if you're just going out with somebody... On one date, you'll find out so much more about yourself and shake it up. People are so stuck in their ways, and they're like, if I don't find that person, then it must not be me. It must be that I haven't found that person. And you got to sort of take personal ownership of your dating fate.
Well, I also think that because I was single for like 2.5 years between my last ex-boyfriend and Scott, the guy that I'm dating now. And dating does, it teaches you more about yourself than it teaches you about like anything at all. And I thought I had a type when I went into dating and being single for the first time.
Yeah.
And you just learn so many things about what works for you and what you're like actually looking for in the long run. And it's such a good exercise for anybody to do.
Yeah, dating is a muscle and you have to sort of exercise it. And it probably won't work out, but it probably, and if you're a guy and you're afraid to go up to a girl, you could be, you know, Chris Evans, mm-hmm. and if he's not famous Chris Evans, but he's just a guy who looks like that, and you lined up 100 women and say, would you go out with this guy? Still more than half wouldn't, mm-hmm. just for whatever reason they wouldn't. So if you're a guy who doesn't look like that, you're still in the same boat, that it's a statistical improbability. So what? If she wasn't going to like you, you didn't lose anything anyway. As dating as a man, you need to treat it like an actor does, meaning if you audition, and if you don't get the part, it just meant that you weren't right for the part. It has nothing to do with your ability.
Oh,
and
God,
I think,
more rejection. I can't.
That's a good
too much rejection.
I think that's a good way to look at it dating. Like, I just wasn't right for it. It has nothing to do with me, and that's better.
Okay, like a lady question. Worst date anyone ever took you on?
Oh, my gosh.
So many, Jack Vanek.
I know.
Do you have one, Brian?
The worst date anybody ever took me on?
Yeah. Well, no one's supposed to take you on a date.
Yeah, I took her. I don't know if it was a worst date. It was unusual. I had to go on a first date with somebody in Las Vegas. And she's like, I met her at her office. I was going to take her to dinner. And she's like, we have to make one stop before dinner. And I go, what? She goes, my friend's husband-to-be is coming into town. And they're having a bachelor party. And she asked me to buy like a blow-up doll and put it in his room. Can we make a stop at like the adult store before we went on the date? And I'm like, okay. And like, I really didn't know her. It was really almost like a blind date, first time. And we go to this like off the strip, like weird sex shop to find it seedy. And it was so like ballsy that she asked me to do that in a way. And she wasn't fearful. I didn't care if I was judged, that I actually kind of liked her. So it was a weird date, but it sort of turned out.
Becca, worst date ever?
I think that sounds like a fun activity.
I know. I didn't know.
It was risky.
Yeah. Worst date. I mean, when I was living in New York, I went on a date with a guy who got so bombed, like so bombed. He was like 10 years older than I was. So drunk, couldn't handle the shit, that I had to literally get a security guard to put him in the cab and then like take him back to his apartment, make sure he got in and leave. And then the next day he told me that he had been roofied, which we all know is a lie. It's just people's excuse when they get blackout.
He's just embarrassed.
And that
how come we have to believe it when the girl says it?
We don't.
Oh, we don't.
I don't.
Becca for sure doesn't.
That's not quite Becca's real worst date, but if you go to the Great Love Debate podcast and you find the episode with Becca Tobin, you will hear the worst, best,
ooh,
worst.
Well, I don't think it didn't really fit the criteria.
Oh, it fit.
Is it? Have you told us the story?
No.
Oh.
You have to go listen.
You got to go listen.
You have to go listen.
It is fantastic.
It's something.
Okay, Jack.
I mean, I've talked about this on our podcast, but I went on a date with a guy and he got food poisoning on our date.
Oh man.
Yeah, the pooper.
And pooped his pants.
What about the guy that was an action hero on Hollywood Boulevard?
That reminds me. I was, you know, kind of nervous on this date with a girl. We were at this Asian fusion restaurant.
Ooh,
and I'm eating the food and I'm listening to her. And I'm like, oh, there's like some kind of like mashed potato-y thingy. And I eat it. And I ate the whole ball of wasabi, like the whole thing. And I almost died. Like I literally stopped almost like breathing. Like I passed out and they had it. Like I just thought I thought it was like potatoes. I was not paying attention. It was hidden and I swallowed.
How many bites did you take before you realized it was wasabi?
It was all something next to it had the same substance. So I like just scooped it and I ate it and I was so enchanted with whatever nonsense she was babbling about that I literally like stopped breathing and I couldn't. And that, so she's probably telling that story as the worst date ever for her.
Woof.
I was the guy.
That's bad. What about you,
I had a guy on my first date ever take me to a shooting range.
That sounds fun.
Oh, God.
We hear that all the time, that's a good date.
It's
interactive.
Oh, I know.
I know it's an activity. No.
First of all, if you know me, I can't even watch Captain America. Like, there's nothing I hate more in the entire world than violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cannot stomach it. I have to close my eyes in the movies. So, I don't know. I guess it wasn't his fault because he didn't really know me. But, like, there's nothing that's going to dry out my vagina more than, like, watching a man shoot a gun.
But if he asked 10 girls out, that's the problem. 7 would like it.
Right.
So that's.
And I think he's engaged now and really happy and so good for him. And he probably found someone that loves to, like, golf and shoot guns.
Here's what you should do, though. And that's the biggest problem. A lot of women say, I don't understand. He asked for my number. He said, would you like to go out? And then he never called me. So asking you, would you like to, can I have your number, is a yes or no question. Would you like to go out is a yes or no question. And then he's like, oh my God, what do I do to plan the date? And even dinner in Los Angeles is fraught with peril. I don't know if you're eating meat.
Yeah.
I don't know what
I
you want.
I hate dinner first dates.
Right. It is dinner first date, but you can't even do that. So the guy's like, all he knows is what the last girl liked, and he probably found that out too late. So if I said to you, what do you want to do on a date? Give me one thing that you would love to do, or what you would love to do.
Like if he says,
see,
what
I
do you
love
want to do?
Activities. I'd be like, let's some
say,
kind
like,
of activity.
I say, would you like to go out sometime? Yeah, you want to go ice skating?
Hell
like,
yeah.
Right, no, you say that to him. Like, throw it out there. So he's not left to just guess.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to go hiking? Or if you want dinner. Yeah, you want to try that sushi place in
but then
Santa Monica?
Does that give the
like
girl
bitchy
the power? Yeah. And then
that's
now
not
she's
power. That's giving him a suggestion. Would you like to? It's not him asking you out. It's none of that. It's just saying, here's what I like to do. It's a little bit of information. It's
ooh
giving him.
Like,
you guys are a blank slate.
Something fun.
So it's like, would you want to go to dinner sometime? Yeah, you want to try whatever?
Or yeah, I've
and
heard
girls are such bitches that you'll go do something and then you'll spend like the next, you know, several hours on the phone with your girlfriend and like criticizing
correct
and ridiculing everything.
So he's got a total blank slate. He needs some sort of pathway to your happiness. So if you give him a little bit of clue about your personality so he is not randomly flying blind and taking mm-hmm you shooting or taking you to some barbecue place when you're vegan, like you're going to have to give him information and he's more likely to succeed.
I have a question.
That's also the secret to marriage. I'm just going to put that. Well, I don't know the secret because I'm on 3 years in.
Dating, everything is about confidence and communication.
And honesty. Okay, wait, I have a question for you. What is your, like, what's your pickup line? What is your secret sauce of, like, approaching a woman? Like, what do you say to, like, the men out there?
I think you need to go up there to, first of all, if you're uncomfortable talking to the opposite sex, if you're a woman, go to Home Depot. Because people naturally communicate there. They ask questions or whatever. If you're a guy, go to Bed Bath & Beyond. It's perfectly reasonable to you to go up to women and ask questions. But I would always go up to somebody and ask a question. A question and an answer is a conversation. And so asking her something that has nothing – going up to a woman, you can probably – you know, you guys hear you're hot 100 times a day. It's white noise.
That's not true. But
I don't think going up with a compliment is going to make you stand
out. Yeah, women don't –
But once – the first thing should be some sort of question. If you ask her a question that makes it look like she can give you some help, you know, the old grocery store, like, can I barbecue this? Whatever. You know, I think that once you have – then you have one foot in the door and then you can get into, oh, my God, when you answered that, you're – I saw your eyes or something that is not so specific, I think that's a good way to go. You have to break that first wall down. Mm-hmm. It's like a light ping pong game. Like, just serve it lightly over the net. If she hits it back, you're in. If she smashes it back or lets the ball go, then you're not going to get her no matter what you say.
Yeah.
Amazing. You got some damn good advice. And in a momento, we are going to have Brian help us answer the Ask the Lady Gang questions.
Hey, ladies! Funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
All right. So since you're the most knowledgeable person ever when it comes to dating, you got to help us answer some questions.
I know the questions. I don't know if I know all the answers, but I do know the questions. So go ahead.
All right. Before we start, if you guys want to go to jackvanek.com, you can get 20% off your order with code LADYGANG. All right, so the first question comes from Sarah through email. She says, I'm stuck in a bit of a rut. Last year, my boyfriend of 3 years had a Tinder and was telling other girls that he wanted to have sex with them. I found out and he told me it was just because he felt discouraged about our sex life. In a way, I feel like he has cheated on me. It's been over a year since it all happened and I'm still not completely over it. I feel like I should have broken up with him at the time, but now so much time has passed and it hurts still knowing that he did that to me. Is it right for me to still feel upset?
Yeah, but she's focusing on what happened versus why it happened.
Yeah.
So there, the root issue still exists. Whether he did it or not is irrelevant. Something caused that to do that. So if it's about their sex life or whatever, like, again, it comes down to communication before, during, and after whatever this happened. Like, it's still terrible that he did that. He should have communicated to her. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure it's not completely salvageable if they fix whatever caused that in the first place.
How many guys do you think, though, are, like, married in a long-term relationship, have a girlfriend that are still, like, twinkling around on dating apps under false – just for fun?
Probably the same amount as women.
Really?
I think the men traditionally have gotten the reputation as the cheaters and whatever because they were traditionally the ones out on the road and working and had the mm-hmm. opportunities. A lot of the women feel just as unsatisfied in just relationships. So even if they want to hear their old boyfriend still wants them or something like that, like it happens all the time. And again, it's about creating that environment early on where whatever you say, I'm not going to judge you. You can trust me and we're going to get through whatever early. And we've lost the ability to communicate even in the relationships. And relationships change. Marriage changes. Kids change. Sex changes. People want to go to bed. You know, you got to work through it. So very rarely is, the infidelity about that person. It's about mm-hmm. something that the person who's doing it isn't feeling.
I have a question, though. Don't you think that there are people who their moral code or how they were raised or their values are so strong that no matter what the circumstances are, that they will not cheat, that they'll get out before doing it?
You would think.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you're judging people how they act in a moment or in a certain circumstance, probably. But, you know, I ask women all the time, when did you know you were going to get divorced? And they're like, when he proposed.
Shit.
When on my wedding day, like, and you just kind of go through with whatever reason. You know, a lot of times the woman dreams of her wedding day, or she's like, I want the house, the dog, the white picket fence, the kids. He's not even on that list. You notice that? Mm-hmm. And so then when you're in the middle of it, you either feel trapped or things change. And it is, you know, you either treat divorce too flippantly mm-hmm. because you're like, if it doesn't work in 2 years, we'll just get divorced. Or you treat it as too frightening an option and you just stay together. Mm-hmm. Anyway, people stay together for habit and they stay together for children. And there's a lot of reasons why they don't. But I don't think how you were raised will influence. My parents have been married 52 years. I don't think they even like each other. So that was never a good example for me.
Right. But yeah. I agree with you, Becca. I think there's some people that, like, even when shit's going wrong or, like, you spending great mm-hmm. amounts of time apart, like, there are people that don't just have to cheat because they're lonely or whatever. Like, I think there's...
I don't think cheating is about loneliness. I don't even think it's about... You know, women, I think, misinterpret the need for sex as some sort of primal thing from a man. Even early on when you're on a first date or a second date, the women are like, oh, he just wanted to get laid or whatever. No, if I ask you out, I tell you you're beautiful, I pay for you, and maybe I'm getting back thank you. Mm-hmm. So in terms of feedback, we're not getting back enough. So I'm making a move just to show, like, you don't think I'm gross, so I'm getting something back.
Some sort of, you know, if
some sort of reaction. That's why if a woman says to a guy, listen, I'm not going to do anything until I feel very comfortable, but when I do, it'll blow your mind. He will forget the words, I'm not going to do anything, and he will remember, it'll blow your mind. He will wait forever, as long as he knows that it's an option and it's on the table and she's open to that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the women will leave off after, I'm not going to do anything till I'm comfortable. And then he's like, she doesn't desire me. She doesn't like me. And it's never going to get there.
Yeah, that's such a like a letdown.
And they bail.
Right?
So as long as he knows that if I do what good, you know, if I jump this high, there's cheese to be gotten.
Yeah.
We're not that impatient. It's almost like, okay, that'll put the pause button on his groping, and it'll be okay. That's about communication too.
Yeah. And if a guy leaves because
then
you're not getting it,
then
he was going to
leave anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we bring this up all the time on the women complaining about the dick pics, and I, you know, I think it's bad and it doesn't work. But if he sends it to 10 women, 2 will be okay with it.
True.
If he sends a poem to 10 women, 2 will be okay with it. Okay, right? You said it with that. That would seem more horrifying.
Jack loves a dick pic.
Right.
I think dick pics are hilarious.
Correct. So you're the whenever it's like who wants it, Jack wants.
Well, it's not like it's going to turn me on, but I'm going to think it's funny.
Right. And that's a reaction. So that's a reaction. He's trying to get a reaction. If he sends poetry to 10 women, it might even be less than 2. So
a
if
dick
the
pic
dick pic
is more attractive
and
than
sitting
a poem.
There
I think a poem is way more attractive.
From a
than
random guy writing you a poem?
Right.
Oh, no. I'm not talking a random. Okay.
So what's easier, firing off some iambic pentameter that you had to work on, or just I got the pic in
a
my
nice,
phone?
A nice haiku.
Yeah. So
what
right. Some sonnets. So that's why the message to the guy is, it's about communication.
Sonnet.
It's the lowest hanging
Brian
fruit.
Brian said sonnet.
I said sonnet. I also said iambic pentameter. You know, yeah, I'm going to send a sonnet to Jack.
Sonnet.
Okay, you guys, we have a question from a man.
What?
Yes. Tim.
What is it?
Tim.
I'm not the only man who listens to this show.
Yeah, now there's like 5. Okay. Tim says, hey, Lady Gang, I've been in a relationship for 6 years. We broke up for a week and got back together. I recently bought a ring. Now, here's the question. How is the best way to propose? Ooh.
Not on a scoreboard.
Oh, my God.
This is the most important conversation you will ever have in your life. So you need to do it correctly and authentically, and whatever her it would help if you understood her personality.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I have a question though. Why did they break up? That's a big issue if you're going to propose. Yeah.
Sometimes people do break up right before the big.
Yeah, and then they realize I got to get out or I got to get in, and then once you're out, I want. Yeah, that's
like,
not.
I want
that's
think
not.
Of Bahati and Adam Levine. Remember they broke up.
Okay, don't compare anything to that.
I know, Kelsey. Those are real people.
I will say this.
Don't look to Adam Levine.
I think that there is this ridiculous thing going on in the world with the outrageous proposal stories, and then there's like even the prom proposals happening now that are so stupid. I want to state what I think. Here's my thoughts. It's not about like he took me on a helicopter to the Himalayas and then I landed and there was candles and some African dancers and my mom. Like I mean, it's just that's so many things. Every person, every relationship is different, but I think that there is a moment. And someone needs to say, if he's proposing to you, I hope that he's saying something heartfelt.
Well,
and I don't think I need all the ridiculous.
I hope the environment is something that is your normal. And that is about the feeling. And that is something that is inside both of your
100%.
Comfort zone. And this is who you guys are.
Yeah.
If you go to brunch every single week at the same place and then suddenly there's a ring in your Bloody Mary, well, then that is special because that's who you two are.
Yeah. 100%. Well, I was going to say, it's like you obviously should know who this woman is and you should know her likes and what makes her feel comfortable. So just having, a comfortable space and doing something that she really likes to be doing.
But we still have to capture it. We still have to film
it. But you have to know.
That's such a bad pressure.
But you also have to be ready for when someone gets engaged, every single person in her life is going to say, how did he do it? And there's going to be that thing. And, and you get to choose what kind of man you are. And it's like, oh, I was on the boat in the middle of the dinghy. And that's okay if that's your life. You know, for me, when Chris proposed to me, he said things to me and it was like literally as long as a sonnet. But like
he didn't say sonnet,
but like he said this little, you know, this like speech that I think he'd probably practiced in his car. And it, you know, I've never told anyone what he said. And it was just like,
did he record?
Your answer. How did he propose? In a way that could only be for me and could only come from him.
Yeah. It was
that
just
blows
like,
away.
Any,
if you
words,
can say
you know?
That. then it doesn't
but
matter.
But I had the whole surprise and the lights and all that stuff. But the only thing I remember is like,
there's a whole group of women that if she's on Instagram and she's posting so many selfies and she likes that like public, you know, attention, I guarantee that your girl is going to really love the kiss cam at the basketball game. Well, I mean, there are girls out there. And also we're forgetting that we're in Hollywood. So we always have like those moments where we get a lot of attention. Normal girls, some of them, this is their starring role, like becoming the bride. So if she's like an introvert and she's not super like outspoken or an exhibitionist, if you will, on social media, then something like that probably is great. But if she, like, is all up in that Facebook shit, like, posting her deepest thoughts every day, that's fine. But she's also going to want a really incredible
big thing.
Yeah. But again, it's about gauging who she is, who you are, and inside you're normal. Mm-hmm. If that's not like her and she doesn't, and then suddenly you have, like, a four-person camera crew... Mm-mm. That's not about it, but you don't have to say yes.
Hold on,
ladies.
I will say this.
Oh my God.
My friend got engaged and when he proposed, he had like this paparazzi proposals thing where they like had a camera and some photos like hidden in the bushes. And I will say, I kind of wish sometimes when I'm on Pinterest, I wish that there was like someone hiding in the bush so that I could like have a picture of Chris down on his
knee. I would want that. I would.
But
totally
don't
want
you
that.
Have it in your mind?
100%
Well,
have
that,
it in
but
my
that's.
Mind.
I was going to ask about the speech thing that he gave. Like in moments like that, I literally black out, and I don't think I would. Remember
I only remember her. Little pieces of it, but I just remember because it's like I'm such an overshare, and I'm such a talker, and I'm such a powerhouse in our relationship, and I'm kind of like a do this kind of gal. And so for me to just stand there and like let you say your thing. It was like momentous.
You let him speak.
I give him 30 seconds. Go.
Jesus.
You know. Oh, Jesus. Okay. We're going on to our last question from Callie on email. And she said, what are some weird beauty treatments that celebrities get that random commenters don't know about?
Oh, my God. Where do we begin?
Anal bleaching, or is that normal now?
That's not normal, that's not but normal. That is a really good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I've not tried it.
You said that with like,
I think she asked because she was talking about how when we talk about like that no one has their real hair.
Yeah.
And like if you don't live in Hollywood, you would really never understand the like amount of fake hair. And it's like just like legit nobody, well, except Jack Vanek has like her real hair, but like everyone else has fake hair. So what are the eyelash extensions?
Oh, eyelash extensions.
There's a lot of undercover boob jobs.
So many boob jobs.
There are. They're,
I feel like there's probably
what's one as a man that you see and you're like, God, I hate that. Stop doing it.
Well, the lips.
Oh my
God. But I said that to some, a plastic surgeon who does it, and he goes, you only notice the bad ones.
Yeah, that's what I think.
100%.
Yeah. And he's like, and, but you don't see that in the rest of the country. That is an LA specific thing.
It really actually,
there's better boob jobs in the rest of the country.
That's true. The lip thing pisses me off. It must be how girls like you, Jack, with natural great breasts feel. So like all these years I've gone, like since I was a child, the only compliment I would ever get was like on my full lips. And now that every bitch in Hollywood can go pay a couple $100 and have them, that must be how you feel about implants.
Shut the
No, I'm saying because yours are natural and you're pissed that all these girls can go out and just buy them.
My boobs
can't
are
we
not
get
that
anything?
Great. I just wear push-up bras. Yeah,
that lip thing is really annoying. Like
it bothers me, like we said earlier, it bothers me that hair is no big deal because it's really all I have.
Hair
is a big deal.
Hair is like a huge.
Bald guys get tons of girls now.
It doesn't matter. It's like
then shave your head.
It's like, but so here's the thing. I have short legs, so like I'm not like missing out on guys because I don't have like long freaking legs. But if you put me on a pair of great legs, it'd be amazing. It's like you. If you had a shaved head, you'd still get dates. But the added hair, puts you on another
Trust
level.
Trust me, women care about hair.
They do?
Yes.
I see tons of bald guys getting
Well, my boyfriend has a shaved head. I really like it.
I don't like a
Bruce
bald guy.
Bruce Willis changed
everything. I don't
everything.
Like bald guys that much at all. At all, actually. Not at all.
What else is there? I don't know.
Thanks, Jack.
There's that. There's the spray tans. There's the IPL facials where you can get all of your flaws lasered off, which I do. So that's
I
why
think
I'm
the
flawless.
Eyelash extensions look good.
You do?
You do?
Yeah, not enough women have good eyelashes. We can't
tell. You can use a nice serum and grow your eyelashes.
Yeah, we do.
I guess,
you know, that's the thing that everybody in the rest of the country, again, I've been to 78 cities in the last 18 months. Everybody's doing just about everything in LA. They just do it later.
Right.
So people in their 20s aren't necessarily Botoxing the way they are here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about an eyebrow? Does an eyebrow matter to you?
A like, singular one?
Because I would just want to tell you, this year, in 2016, I had definitely paid someone $250, which is insane, to like tone, tint, and pluck my eyebrows for me into a great
shape.
Well,
again, we don't notice the procedure. We notice the result.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah,
if we've never seen you before and those are your eyebrows and it just looks better, however you got there, we don't really care.
Yeah.
You know?
We didn't wake up like this, Brian.
We didn't, but we love the way you look when you wake up. We think you are all far better than you ever see yourselves or... You know, I always say 90% of women's insecurities come from other women, and the other 10% came from the fairy tales.
Yeah, 100%.
When you were 14, it's like, are you going to eat that? Are you going to wear that? Is he going to call you? And it got you all freaked out.
Yeah.
By the time we got to the picture, you guys were already
I feel like guys like simplicity.
But I will say this.
We like 10 pounds
all,
overweight,
you know,
too.
I think
hell yeah.
We like a little squish.
I know. That's true.
Kill me.
Let's go to Fatburger. No, but I think it's interesting because I said this to Chris in conversation, like, is that women, we just... I don't know. I think we need the men to like just tell us more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think the it's just, I don't know.
We assume it's white noise to you.
But it's not. And
I know,
think guys need to tell us more. Like, I could be told, like, when you look great, I love your outfit. What great shoes. I love your hair today. Or like when you wake up in the morning, wow, you look so great in the mornings. So, like, I mean.
I asked, you guys know who Krista Allen is?
No.
Mm-mm. She's an actress. She's beautiful. She used to date George Clooney. You would know her if you saw her. And she was really good looking. And I go, can you be complimented? And she goes, compliment me in a way that is not a general, like a hot. Give me a specific compliment and compliment me when I'm not expecting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm all dolled up and I'm out, you know, probably so, I'm going to hear it. But when you, like, maybe it's a time where I'm not feeling great or in a moment, like in that sort of sleepy half light in the morning when you guys are all screwed up, we think you look great. We're afraid to tell you because sometimes you'll be like, no, I don't. I look like crap.
That's so true.
And we'll get that back. So, and we really do believe it. You know, girls look beautiful when they cry sometimes, as long as we didn't cause it, you know?
I look great when I cry.
I look... So funny.
I feel like you've rehearsed that. You know, and we want to know that you're a lot like us. I emailed Becca the other day that I was going to Waffle House, and I was ashamed of it, and I felt so much better about myself that she was like, that's my death row meal.
It is. Oh, God.
Waffle House.
Only you Southerners can really understand.
Brian, we're so excited that you came to hang out with us. Please, everyone, go check out the Great Love Debate podcast.
It's
good. Where can everyone find it? On iTunes?
iTunes, Podcast One. Every place you can find Lady Gang, you can find us. And go to greatlovedebate.com to see our live tour schedule. We are going everywhere, including London this year.
Oh, dope. Cool. Traveling around the world. I really appreciate your expertise.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was so fun. And thanks for having Becca on. And, you know...
And track down that Becca dating story.
Go find it. Great Love Debate.
My numbers.
The great.
Great. I think it's our highest rated one, that story. I mean, literally.
Seriously?
We have people come to our shows and been like, oh my God, I listened to the Becca Tobin thing.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go listen to it on Great Love Debate. And guys, while you're at it, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Lady Gang. You can check us out. It's Becca Tobin, at Jack Vanek, at Kelty Knight. Head on over to iTunes, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and head on over to The Lady Gang and check out our site and leave us an Ask the Lady Gang question. We're so excited you were here, but now we gotta go. So we will
see you next Tuesday.
Yay!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Thanks for listening.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.